Welcome back to Techonomics. I'm Jason Middleton, and our guest this week is CEO of Pando Daily, Sarah Lacey. Lacey is known for her journalism in and around Silicon Valley. She's also about to publish a new book on single motherhood and the pursuit of career happiness. In this segment, Sarah and I look at the role of video for companies like Facebook and Twitter. We spoke earlier this week. And I'm looking at this week, video's future. Vine went from 6 seconds to 140 seconds. I don't know what Jack's fascination is with the number 140, but I think there's there's something there. And Facebook is doubling down on its live because it's paying celebrities to do Facebook Lives. So as long as you've been covering this industry, is this the next wave of stuff we're going to have to watch out for?
I mean, the Facebook thing to me is the most interesting. Like, everything Twitter is just sort of like death by a thousand paper cuts. Like, there's no big product moves. There's always these, like, little, like, it's kind of like when you go to an optometrist and they're like, better like this or better like this?
Right.
Like, that is Twitter's product strategy. And, like, as the Vanity Fair story told us recently, there's no plan B. This is it.
Yep.
So, kind of by definition, any little incremental product thing out of Twitter is just, like, not even relevant today, much less a year from now will be relevant or leads an industry.
Good point.
Facebook is super interesting because Facebook is so powerful right now that it's like they can say something's going to be the future and then they can spend tons of money to make it the future.
Right.
And it's sort of what they're trying to do with live video. Mm-hmm. They've come out and said they want to be this place for real-time conversations, which was always Twitter's domain. They want to do it in a more modern way that's going to compete with Snapchat. Especially Snapchat stories.
Mm-hmm.
And they are just, they're brute forcing this. The same way they brute force Messenger to be successful by spinning it out and making you download it.
That's right.
They're doing this and saying you can't message anyone else in Facebook. This is all you can do. I mean, they will use their money and their market position and their influence and their different properties to brute force things. And it's impressive. Like, I say that with admiration.
Right, yeah. They're critical mass right now. You're right.
Yeah, and they get it. And they know how to use it. And they pick the right bets. And so what's interesting that they're doing with video right now, because it's not just celebrities. It's also, like, BuzzFeed. Like, they're spending millions paying BuzzFeed to do videos.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you don't really have to encourage BuzzFeed to do videos,
No, first of all. No.
But it's fascinating if you just look at now these companies like the New York Times, BuzzFeed, National Geographic, all of these companies opted into these public live to Facebook arrangements and got so deep down that road. And now Facebook is giving them money to do more live video and like getting them like deeper and deeper, you know, sort of like in that like honeypot.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's fascinating because ultimately like you can look at it and everyone can like mock how much they're paying these news outlets to have reporters sit and do videos that no one watches and like trolls are in the comments. But it's like it's worth it for Facebook to try.
Absolutely.
Why not? And the only thing Twitter's ever had that Facebook has never been able to have is celebrity.
That's true. Celebrity and immediacy.
Yeah.
In some ways. But now that Facebook has these other tools, I think I'd agree with you. Celebrity for sure.
I mean, and that's one reason the Instagram purchase was so pivotal because Instagram has celebrity. And now celeberities want to leave Twitter. They're leaving because it's abusive and it's trollish. And so it's like, I think it's like this, you know, it's the right time for Facebook to do it. 99% of places that are trying to say video is the answer, see Yahoo, see Twitter. You know, if you're not Snapchat or Facebook or Google because of YouTube,
mm-hmm.
video isn't the answer. I mean, first of all, the IAB advertising standards are meaningless because
right.
Google and Facebook have their own custom units.
Uh-huh.
None of the three agree on even what a view is. There is no standardization. We thought the web was going to democratize advertising so much, and it hasn't. 78% of the digital display spend is going to Facebook and Google.
Right.
And if when we go to video, it's going to be more so. So I think it's great for Facebook. It makes total sense. Once again, though, everyone needs to understand this is Facebook's game. And Facebook isn't doing this because they think it's where the world needs to go. They think it's where Facebook needs to go.
Exactly.
And if you make money off of that, fine. But be aware of what you're opting into and the history of the Facebook platform.
Yeah. He's building one platform to rule them all.
Yeah, and it will change on a dime. I mean, we saw last year when they moved from more prioritizing articles in the newsfeed to prioritizing video in the newsfeed that suddenly publications like Huffington Post were down double-digit percentages from the traffic they were getting from Facebook, and they've built their company on that.
Mm-hmm.
So this is why everyone freaks out and lays off investigative writers and starts hiring video teams, they're doing it because of Facebook, because they live in this world.
Right.
And so I think as a news organization, you have to just make a decision of, like, are you playing your game or are you playing Facebook's
game?
That's
a great point, yes. Let's go back to you, Pando. You recently hosted a conference in Chicago, I think. So what were your takeaways?
You know, we like to sort of, like, pull a lot of people, like, out of the Valley echo chamber. But we did it as a one-day event, mostly so it'd be a cheaper ticket because, you know, there's a tech recession going on in some quarters. You know, it's very uneven. But there's certainly companies under harder times, so we want people to be able to afford to come. And it was this amazing – there were two threads that were constantly woven together. And one was about all of the money – and platforms and, you know, new world that's been created by the last, like, 10 years of social networking, getting into mobile. So we had people like Dick Koslow on stage, people like Max Levchin on stage. We had people like, you know, Jason Hirschhorn on stage, who's sort of like an old school media guy. We had, like, a lot of VCs. We had sort of all of those people. And then we had this whole other arc that was really about the reverberations in society and culture from all of that money, power, and opportunity. And that, to me, is like the side that never gets discussed at these tech conferences.
True.
So we had Nancy Jo Sales, who's written this amazing book about the effect of social media on teenage girls. That's really horrifying in some ways, but is a must read if, like, you have daughters or, frankly, you have sons. And, you know, looking at the flip side of, like, Instagram, you know, Snapchat, a lot of these companies, their biggest customer, who they're essentially repackaging and selling to advertisers, are young teenage girls. And what are these platforms doing to their lives? So, like, we had that conversation. We had Margaret Atwood on stage, who,
wow,
like, has written about, like, post-apocalyptic futures and also done a lot of work with startups that are particularly doing stuff around reading and writing. She's actually pretty bullish on the Valley, and she's always been an early adopter of tech, which you would expect the opposite by reading her books. Mm-hmm. But she had so many interesting thoughts on sort of future ramifications of this stuff. And then we ended the day with Jimmy Chamberlin, who's the drummer from the Smashing Pumpkins, who really talked about – who then was a tech CEO and now is, like, a consultant to different media companies. And it was this fascinating interview where he talked about, like, the difference in music in people's lives because of mobile, because of Pandora, because of Spotify, again, because of all of the stuff that's been so successfully built. And he was trying to argue that people cared about music less. And I was like, how can you say that? I feel like music is such a bigger part of my life. And he's like, yeah, but that's the key. It's a soundtrack to your life now.
Mm.
And it's like the phone has replaced, like, the Walkman, where, like, the only thing on it was music. Like,
sure,
you're never only listening to music anymore. And, like, I hadn't thought about it from that direction.
Sarah, can you stick around for just a few more minutes? I'm going to ask you about Uber. That's Sarah Lacey, CEO and founder of PandoDaily.com, an independent journalism site that focuses on the tech sector. After this short break, our last segment with Sarah will focus on misogyny, Uber, and her need for armed guards after a run-in with Uber management. I'm Jason Middleton, and this is Techonomics.